This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? My friends here at the big studio, Steve-O.
What's up, Jono? What's happening, man?
Not a lot. Rodney, how you doing out there, babe?
I'm doing great. It's Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday, so here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
I got deals going on, so we're just...
He's Monty Hall today, Rodney.
Let him fly.
Can you hear yourself?
Hold on. Let me see. It's better.
I'm only out of one ear. What's going on here?
Well, you got the bad.
I got the broke. This is going to drive me nuts. I might be insane in the membrane by the time we're done here.
Oh, he's coming around.
He's the new headset. Here. All right.
Hooking him up here. Steve-O's getting hooked up. Hey, Rodney, what about our free agency? We've got two. We've got two that are restructuring right now. That I think is going to be a good one. I think Smith on the O-line, and Frederick, he's restructuring as well.
It's important because those are two well-paid members of the team, so it's always nice to hear and see that they are, you know, they're willing to do that. It's common, but it's always nice to, you know, see that.
I think Smith has been doing it every time, though.
Probably.
Yeah, I think he has,
It happens too. A lot more than we know a lot of times. So.
Guys, I got to tell you, producer Brian gave me his headset. This guy... Man, these are like the Cadillac. I mean,
those look much nicer than
ours. Oh, my God. My ears are like on pillows right now.
Hey, those aren't pillows.
I mean, it feels nice.
Those aren't pillows. I love that movie. I might watch that tonight with the kids.
But in any case, I think, you know, here's the thing I got to ask you guys. Now, everyone's bitching about, we got to
pay Tony Romo the $25 million.
Hey, hasn't this guy been the one that restructured only for the team? And give him his goddamn money is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he'll get it.
It's funny football.
It's all
with
part
their,
of the process.
Yeah, with their contracts. Because the general population, GP as I like to call them, the general population
that's
here.
That's what you call it, right?
Is that trademark?
That's trademark, GP. Well, because, you know, hey, you know how it is, brother.
I thought it was the horse tracks at the Gulfstream Park.
So the general population, they hear like a $100 million contract in football, and they're like, oh, my God, this guy's rich. And when realistically he got like $3 million, and he might not make another penny because they might cut him or something like that.
What was that quarterback that went on to Cleveland from Washington?
Robert Griffin?
Yeah, RG. I mean, they signed him to – what was that, like 30, 40 million or something? And next year they cut him.
Yeah.
Right.
You're at Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of here.
That's what's crazy about NFL contracts. They're not guaranteed. No. And I would venture to say that that's got to be some sort of bargaining chip in the future, that they want that guaranteed contract just because
I think it's the whole signing bonus, that whole signing thing.
They do the signing bonus
and a portion of it is guaranteed.
For normal people, you don't understand it. You're just hearing – I mean, hell, I don't understand it. I'm pretty normal. But it's crazy when you hear those numbers and you're like, nah, they cut him. Well, what'd they do with all that money? Oh, they didn't owe it to him. They just cut him. Well, didn't they have a contract? Yeah, they cut him. You know what Rich would say in this instance.
No, don't bring him up.
Come on, let's bring him up. He's not even in here today.
Where is he anyway?
I don't know. Here's the deal. Rich, Rodney, and Steve-O actually have other jobs other than podcasting and working for Lineup Media Group.
Really?
So sometimes we're not always in here because we have things to handle. Or, like today, we're doing a Friday show because the three worker guys were actually busy yesterday.
Right, yeah.
So we postponed it to a Friday show, which is nice, but...
You know what? I got to say, fellas, you guys been on the show, and you guys work absolutely free. Let's give a plug out for anyone in the St. Louis area or the Illinois area that are Cowboy fans that listen to the show.
Yeah.
Steve-O, you go first.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure, man.
Thank you. Least I appreciate that. Well, Jono, my real job is I'm an actual mortgage banker, so I work for a company called Supreme Lending. I'm actually licensed in Missouri and Illinois, so if we have any Dallas Cowboy fans out there that are listening to the show right now, if you have any mortgage needs, whether it's you're buying a new home or you want to refinance, maybe you want to do some home improvements, give me a buzz or, you know, reach out to us on Facebook through the Cowboys podcast or call me directly at 618-655-0483. Be willing to hook you guys up, my Cowboy Nation out there, right?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you, Rodney?
Well done. I don't know if I can follow that up. Like, that sounded scripted. Like, you actually already had that plan before you came in. But anyway, I am an independent insurance agent here in local. I'm also licensed in Illinois and Missouri. And, you know, first-time home buyers, anyone looking to increase coverage, lower prices.
Car insurance. Bundle it up, the bundle.
Home insurance, life insurance, business. I work with a lot of small business owners as well. So,
and how can they contact you, Rodney?
618-780-0021.
That's beautiful. Now we got that out of the way. I think I need it. I owed it to you guys for this.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. You know, and some of our other sponsors out there that'll be on us, that we'll plug them as the season gets closer. So
definitely. Now we got a situation. Our defense, our DBs. Well, they're all going to be free agents. All right,
every one of them.
Everyone, yeah. Except for Sean Lee.
We're going to have Mo Claiborne, and we're going to have what's his name? The guy I don't really like, Carr.
Brandon Carr.
Yeah, Brandon Carr.
Barry
now,
Church.
Now, I'm just asking you guys, do you guys bring in Brown and Skandrick in there and say, hey, adios, fellas? You know, you haven't done much that I've been impressed with.
No, Brown was okay.
I'm saying bring in Brown.
Right. Yeah.
Fill in Brown and Skandrick and say, there's the road. I mean, there's the door.
Well, I think
Claiborne and Carr.
I liked Claiborne. Carr seemed, I can't get over his posterized. Wasn't he the Odell Beckham catch one? You know,
his bad ones were really bad.
His bad ones
stand out. Yeah,
yeah. He'll go down in history, like that. But I like Mo Claiborne.
That was an unbelievable catch.
If you don't enjoy that catch.
I didn't enjoy it. I just said you're not going to blame Carr for that.
If you don't appreciate that catch and what that guy's skill set does, boy, you're not a fan of the game. And I get it. There's Cowboys fans, and I happen to be a Cowboy fan that's also a football fan. So I like stuff like that.
I'm not your ass. I'm not a football fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, and that's it. And what I'm saying right now is you got Claiborne, and you got what's your take on this, Rodney?
Well, to answer the question, I would love to be able to show Brandon Carr and Mo Claiborne the door. I would love to do that. Is there a better alternative? If you can guarantee me that
Skandrick
we have
and Brown. Not buying into Skandrick.
So
you're not buying into that, but fellas, we got the draft coming up, and there's a lot of corners out there in this draft that I think we can go get.
Right. So, but then that goes to the next question. Are we going corner first, or are we going to try to address the defensive end or a pass rusher first? What are we going to address first, and then what's going to be left over at that point? Is that second or third round pick at corner going to be better than Brown, Skandrick, Claiborne, Carr, whoever, you want to pick?
And let's not forget Church. Church is going to want some money.
Yeah.
I think he's down to his final contract of his lifetime, and you're going to – he's going to demand some money. You got who's that guy? Who's that guy in Kansas City? Eric Berry?
Eric Berry.
He's asking for, what, 10, 12, 13 million? He's going to – I think he's getting 12, 13 million, if I'm not sure. Now, is Church going to ask for that type of money? Or if so, get the hell out of here.
This guy,
he's going to say, I'm a pro bowler and everything. That's fine. But what were you making this year? You were making about, $2-3 million? I think he's making $2.5 million. Okay? Now you're going to jump it to $10 million just because there's a guy in Kansas City that's making $12 million in the same position?
That money is better spent in other areas than just on a high-priced corner.
No,
I feel like if you just have a serviceable corner.
No, he's not even a corner. He's a safety.
Sorry, safety.
Safeties are
anywhere in the secondary.
Not even in the same presence to me.
Well, we talked about this last time. If you have a pass rush, it makes your corners that much more effective. And also you have the vice versa of that. If you have tight corners, which you're going to have multiples of those, if you have tight corners, it's going to make your pass rush more effective just because those, you know, the quarterback's now going to have to hold it for another second, you know, or a split second.
How big is that? We talked
huge.
About that before. How long do you want him to drop back and pass the ball? How many seconds do you want our
defense? What's the internal clock? Between 2.8 and 3.4 is your safe zone. Any more than 3.4, then all of a sudden
they're
on
loose
you. So that's a thing. And we'll stay on track. I had a couple of dates that popped up in front of me. Obviously, we have the combine coming up in Indy starting next week, right here at the end of February, running through the first week of March. But the beginning of the free agency signing period starts March 9th. So, obviously, I think what you're looking at, Jono, to look at your answering your questions is, what are they going to be able to do in free agency? What is their plan? A lot hinges on Romo and the hit and the June cut date, if they're going to do that, which I know we're getting into him and the rumors going to Redskins. So a lot of this free –
Redskins, that's bullshit. It really was.
Was it? Was
yeah,
that a,
yeah. No, it was a pop-up something. There's no
– You know how rumors start. I started the one about Romo for J.J. Watt, and that blew up on Twitter for a couple of days.
I think you are solely responsible for
it. I was. It was crazy.
You magnificent liar.
Boy, you know how it is. But so you got a couple of days, but I think what you're going to have to look at is what are they going to be able to get out there immediately in free agency? And I would like them to start addressing something early because we're so close, okay?
All
and
right.
That's, you know, that's the big issue that I see. Let's address something before the draft. And then whatever we didn't address, let's attack when we get that late first-round pick and go from there. And then continue to build on what we've done over the past several years.
I think we covered it on the last show. But your priority position is what then? I guess your defensive line?
Mine is defensive end. I would love to see a pass rush. I think we need that.
If you find that impact player at defensive end, you know, that makes your secondary look better immediately.
Yeah. I think you need one because you have Jalen Smith there.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Now, are we putting too much into that, too? Because we're banking on the guy's going to come out and play and stay healthy. But in all fairness, let's be a little cautious here and maybe go after a linebacker in the draft as well. You know what? I agree that we're putting everything on our guy here that's coming off an injury.
Right.
But, again, what if something pops up again? God forbid. I mean, what if that injury happens again?
Looks like a duck, walks like a duck, he quacks like a duck. This guy's a duck. All right? Now, we can't tell with injuries. You know, it's the next man up with something like that. But for everything that we've seen from our studios here in middle of America, this guy's ready to play, and he sure as hell better be ready come the first snap of the preseason to see what we can get out of him, because he's necessary for us. We need him bad. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what's exciting. So if you add a pass rusher, if you're able to draft a pass rusher, defensive end, to complement with this guy, what you know you already have, and Sean Lee having a good, healthy year, and you're able to bring back maybe one of those corners, and you have Smith and Byron Jones back there, or whatever you have, Brown and Jones back there as well. Bring one back, and then you can get another guy in there in the draft. And he might not be a second rounder. He might be a third or fourth rounder. Then all of a sudden, I think at that point, you've solidified that defense enough that if your offense does what it's supposed to do, we should be able to – am I going too far when I say 19-0?
Am I saying
19-0 is too much to expect next year?
No, it's definitely possible.
Okay.
Rodney, I got to bring this to you then, what he just said, what Steve-O just said. If we focus on defensive end then, and if we do have money, do you go his route or possibly maybe go in the free agency? If we're going to release, In my mind, if there is a option out there to release Claiborne and Carr, you can obviously find a free agent out there at the defensive end. I mean, face it, folks. If we're going to talk about free agents, there was a guy named Charles Haley that we picked up from San Francisco that put us over the top. Because before then, we didn't have that on defense. He had that mystique about him, and he put us over the edge. I mean, that's the guy that we depended on. And that may be something to look in for. Right. I mean, maybe find a four-star linebacker, not a linebacker, but a defensive end out there that's gotten away from the team.
Right. It's that they're out there. One name that comes to mind is Nick Perry in Green Bay, who's had 23 and a half sacks in his first five seasons, 11 last year. So he had a big year last year right before that free agency year. So, you know, there are some guys out there, but you're going to have to pay for them. So it's high risk potential high return on that.
If you're going to release a player though that's right, demanding $10 million,
yeah.
I say why not? And Church, he's going to want. I don't think we could obtain him if we give him all the options, incentives and all that, maybe, but I don't think he'll buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think guys like Claiborne, guys like Church, Carr, give them incentives.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to stay, this is your salary, but incentives, if you get this many tackles, if you get a couple interceptions here and there, I'll make it worthwhile for you. Other than that, I'm going to release you.
Right.
I'm not paying you top dollar. I need a defensive end. I need a defensive end, or I need a linebacker. You know, and one more corner, maybe. One more corner. And a corner, we've addressed that before. How important is a veteran cornerback? I think it's the number two spot on the NFL team. Behind a quarterback, a corner, you can't bring in a rookie and expect them to cover a Randy Moss. It's not going to happen.
Well, you know what we don't need that's flying all over the internet?
Talk to me, babe.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, we're getting that on our site, too. But, you know, we're going to
that's what I. Hey, listen, a couple years ago.
I don't know what the hell's wrong with McPherson. I just don't know. Okay, go ahead.
A couple years ago, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's, you know, yeah. Adrian Peterson, he's having issues up there in Minnesota. You know, his agent Ben Dagra is fighting with the general manager at the combine. And, you know, one of those things where like, okay, hey, AP, let's get him down here. We'll take him all day long, right?
At what price?
He was under contract, right?
Yeah.
But we'll take him. But you got Zeke back there now. Do you want Adrian Peterson?
No.
He's the best back in football. That's what we're hearing.
You got McFadden. You got all these guys.
If you allocate that many dollars to your backfield,
McPherson?
Yeah. You did.
Why didn't you stop me?
Because I started thinking.
We weren't sure if you took your medicine today. We didn't want to, like, you know.
I didn't mean to say McPherson.
I know. I started thinking about Ella McPherson, the swimsuit cover model for Sports Illustrated.
Man, McFadden, weirdo. I just said that. That's all.
I know.
I got to get Brian to cut that anyway.
Nah, he'll be fine. He won't be able to do it. I got his nice, cushy earphones on, man. These are like top of the line.
They do look pretty nice.
They're like the Cadillac of all earphones.
How the hell did I say McPherson? What made me say McPherson?
You're getting hung up on small details. It's okay.
You know, you know our podcast trolls will be out there over you.
I'm going to get messages left and right now.
It's worse than the sausage finger comment that I always bring up.
And knock we're back.
Off. Just knocking off.
And we're back.
It's getting old. It's getting old with that whole thing. So right now, then, we got Church back there. We've got what about a backup quarterback? I don't think we could win with a Dirty Sanchez. I just don't see that.
You know, and what happened last year with the Cowboys, in all honesty, was an anomaly. You don't see your number one quarterback go down very often in the NFL. And then all of a sudden you turn around and win that many games with your backup. You know, in a way, I don't want to say we got lucky because we still drafted him.
We got totally lucky. Don't fool yourself.
Okay, we got lucky. We did. We really did. So,
the Jones family expected that.
No, no one did. Of course not. We all thought the season was over as soon as we saw Romo go down in the preseason.
We canceled the podcast, didn't we?
That's it.
We
all right.
At one point, we decided that we're not doing a podcast.
Right. So regardless of who we sign as our backup quarterback, if it's Mark Sanchez, Kellen Moore, Joe Schmo, it doesn't matter. If Dak gets hurt, we're all going to feel the same way that time than we did last year when Romo went down.
Why is it then we accept losing with a backup quarterback? I don't know why we go to mediocrity as a backup quarterback. Don't we have – isn't that kid out there that's for the Clemson?
Oh,
Taj Boyd.
Deshaun Watson.
I'm getting trolled for that one. Deshaun Watson. Yeah.
He's like, cut them all. I'm coming in to play.
Yeah.
I'm sure you would there, Panama Red. I mean, let's go. I mean, team goes 14-2. I want to play quarterback for them, and I'm not a quarterback.
No, but what I'm saying is, though, I like to have a competitive quarterback.
Yeah, in a perfect world, sure, of course, absolutely. It's just not realistic, though, in today's NFL.
That's what I'm saying, though. Do we get a draft pick now? Do we get a number three draft pick in a third round? Let's go after a QB.
I'm thinking maybe fourth. I don't think you go third.
I think you've got too many other needs you want to address first.
I think you have to hit on your first and second round if you're going to be successful in the NFL. You have to hit on those guys. Your third and fourth round guys have to be guys that can come in and compete, during camp, during preseason. They got to be able to compete. Then, you know, when you get after that, you get into your fifth round, those are your guys that you're looking at. Maybe you can find a diamond in the rough. So I'm looking at, you know, from the quarterback standpoint, if you're looking for a backup and you're going to draft somebody like that, which I wouldn't just because you're talking about a second-year quarterback backed up by a rookie, the earliest you can take somebody like that is fourth. I think they'll go out and they'll sign another veteran type quarterback that can come in that's just, I'm going to show you how to work the ropes. And there's little stuff. It's not on the field. A lot of that stuff for these quarterbacks and these NFL players is off the field behaviors, whether it's, you know, working out, eating right, watching film, whether it's, hey, I'm not going to go sit on a boat during my bye week and put it all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter that I'm doing this. I'm going to be in studying because there's going to be time for that later. There's those veteran things. And then there's the things like, hey, you got to watch yourself out in the general public when you go out to eat, when you're staying at hotels. You know, there's a lot of pitfalls you want a veteran in here to probably take
Dak
under his wing.
I think the Cowboys have really tightened up on that. They don't allow that too much anymore. Maybe in the 90s, but it's been really tight now. I think it's a first-class operation. They keep him on a tight leash. What do you think now? I didn't want to do it. This is just like that not-for-long stuff, but what do you think about Romo? Where the hell is he going? What's going to happen?
I still think, you know, I'm still staying. What, I stick with Houston? I went with Houston.
That's what you went with.
Yeah. I went with Houston.
I think he wants to go to Houston, too. He's made it clear he likes to go to Houston. Yeah. Which, you know, God bless him. I mean, it'd be out of our division. I need an AFC team to root on. I'll make it to Houston.
How can you not root for the Texans with J.J. Watt there, too? I mean,
I thought he was coming to us with your trade talks.
Yeah, I'm trading him straight up. One broken back for another. So, and as a matter of fact, when Romo decides to retire, we'll send J.J. Watt back.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
For free.
For free. Okay. So that's we've got a couple guys on our offensive line that restructured their contract, and I think that's big.
Absolutely.
I think. Our center and Smith, they're both restructured now to where I think this is the whole Cowboy thing. Don't we restructure more than any team out there?
Seems like it.
And when the cap moves up, when the cap keeps moving up, it only helps us out. But there's got to be a time when this really catches up with you too.
Well, you know, when you look at it, and I've talked about this several times with the NFL, that you have a window of about 3 years to make hay. And if you can do something like we did last year, which is, you know, let me rephrase that because we had Romo there. But, you know, you can come out of the blue and have like a 4-12 season and make a run, and maybe you might have 4 years before all hell breaks loose because of your contracts, because of your obligations to your stars and trying to keep key pieces in place. So realistically, your window is about 3 years. So when you get onto that part of it, that makes A, what New England did, all more that more impressive,
yeah,
because they've
really
done it for
does.
So long. But you know, the clock is ticking on us. You got to figure that might be, we might buy 1 year, because if we're able to get rid of Romo and we have Prescott in there as our cheaper quarterback, that might give us one extra year in there. But, folks, I'm telling you, if you don't win a Super Bowl in the next 4 years, 3 years now, if you don't win a Super Bowl, you're talking about rosters getting turned over, and I believe it even points that way with a lot of our key people are signed through 2020 or 2021. So you start having to make those business decisions on what you're doing.
Mind you, though, some of these signings that we're restructuring, well, they're not going to be spring chickens at the back end of these contracts either.
Right.
I mean, we may be hit with some guys that we may be taking a hit on the salary.
Which really makes this offseason very crucial, like the draft. So free agency is going, kind of to your point, Steve, free agency is going to help us probably win more in the next 1 to 3 years, where that draft is going to be more like that 3 to 5 year window. So that's why you've really got to balance that out. Try to win now, obviously, and then, but you've got to draft well and draft smart, and that way we don't hit that that big, you know, the big dip,
the valley.
Yeah, the valley. So,
well, yeah, you know what, our center Frederick, he's I think he's 25 years old, so restructuring his contract, nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive linemen, they seem to go a little longer than anyone else. I think it's good to restructure offensive linemen. I don't know if you restructure like a Dez. I don't think the back end of a Dez contract. I mean, wideouts in the third, fourth year of their contract, they're not. I mean, the older you get as a wideout, the less valuable you become. So it's good that they're not going that route. Colleen brought it up, I think, last week, but I disagree with restructuring for Dez, because Dez, again, those wideouts, even if you're one of the best, you see a lot of wideouts that had a big name in their back end of years. They don't do anything. What about that guy Cruz in the Giants? I mean, he hardly gets a damn ball thrown at him.
He's available now, right? Didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't I see where they cut
him? What
the
hell him? I want him for?
I didn't say we needed him.
But that's what it's happening.
Yeah, but that's what it turns into.
Right. Yeah.
And you got to eat some of that money.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So if you get your offensive line on board here, I think those are the best guys to invest in on the restructuring aspect.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got that going. Folks, you can catch our Dallas Cowboys show on CowboysPodcast.com. And Steve-O, I seen your site, man. You're doing pretty good. You got a lot of people on your site.
Steve-O Jones.
Steve-O Jones.
On Facebook. So
on Facebook.
Check it out. I don't know what the deal is with Facebook. I think they tap you out at 5,000 friends. I don't know if they allow followers after that or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
What is up with that?
I'm not sure.
To your site to check that out. I couldn't even become your friend, man.
I know. The problem is that, you know, people aren't used to dealing with Cowboy Nation, which, I mean, we're by the millions.
Right.
So, you know, all these other teams, you know, they don't have a ton.
Yeah.
So Cowboy Nation comes strong. But, yeah, CowboysPodcast.com, Steve-O Jones on Facebook, Cowboys Podcast on Facebook. Check us out. Interact with us, folks. Give us your opinions on things. You know, obviously right now is the little lull in the action. We'll have a little bit more to talk about, you know, in the coming weeks, because we'll get into the combine and pre-draft stuff and free agency. But right now we're just kind of through a lot of hot air out there.
Not a lot to talk about right now.
No, but I did want to switch gears because, Jono, as you know, you
hold
are.
Hold on, Jono. Hold on. You never know what's coming.
Yeah, switch gears. That's frightening.
You are the senior member of the Cowboy Podcast group here.
Right, right.
I watched the other night the football life of Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I was becoming a fan, it was probably that his last year. When I can remember trying to watch Cowboy games and get into it, and then the start of the Danny White era. But, man, tell me a little bit about your what you remember about Roger Staubach.
Roger Staubach, to me, was like you can be down 28 points going into the third quarter, and it was like almost like, oh, we'll come back. We'll come back. It was like that type of – that type of vibe every time as a Cowboy fan back then. You just knew there was something left in the Cowboys to make this damn thing interesting. So, and you know what? In all fairness to Danny White, I mean, there were times when that guy, he could have easily won that damn game against Frisco with that Dwight Clark catch, because the Cowboys took the ball right back and drove it to their 48, 47-yard line, and something happened. I think Danny... he might have caused it, so what the hell am I talking about? But in any case, I mean, we had our opportunity with Danny White's too. How many times you see a punter that's our QB as well?
That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's what I remembered. I figured everybody should have been a punter / quarterback. I mean, how
you
nice
are
would
in
that
high
be?
School usually.
Yeah, absolutely. I watch a lot of high school games now, and that's what they do.
Right.
But that just saves you a roster spot, right?
I would say maybe that's what we got to start
that's
doing.
How you having build depth.
Having them double dip on their on their position. You're seeing it everywhere in the job world out there.
Right.
So yeah, I definitely think that that was a different time, and I love when my Cowboy offensive line went up and down before each play to the.
Those absolutely.
Oh man, but those guys were damn good.
But I just remember my wife and I were sitting there watching it, and it was. I think we had seen it before, parts of it, but not anything. And she goes, "Isn't Roger Staubach the one that said that he likes to just have sex with his wife?" That was a part of it when they were comparing
you
him.
You mean your wife? Out of all that, she remembered that.
Well,
part.
That's what she remembers because, you know, it's a professional football athletes out there.
Right.
So the whole thing was they kept comparing Roger to Joe Namath and how flashy Joe Namath.
Joe Namath was horrible QB.
But how flashy he was. I'm not sure he was horrible.
He was horrible compared to Roger. Are you kidding me? What did he do? What did he do beside that one Super Bowl?
Okay, well, I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, so.
Well, you know what? That's fine, too, because now we're having a Hall of Fame problem right now because our guy Darren Woodson belongs in the Hall of Fame. They're going to put in Ed Reed in the Hall of Fame, and they're not going to put Darren Woodson. I'm telling you, that's a little horse crap myself.
Well, but here's the deal.
Would you take Ed Reed or would you? Back then, I think it was, what the hell was that? We had the 7th pick, and we picked Roy Williams. Ed Reed was like the number 15th pick, and Baltimore picked. We picked Roy Williams.
Roy Williams was highly touted.
But he's a heck of a basketball coach.
Now, that's funny. And we are coming up to March Madness. But, no, Roy Williams was heavily touted.
He couldn't cover a wounded cow.
No, he couldn't. But the bottom line is Ed Reed made a name for himself on
because,
the football
because
field.
Of the Baltimore
because
team.
Because of the Baltimore defense. Where Woodson didn't have that benefit. He didn't have that stout defense that he was – the key member of. You know, they didn't have those championships.
All right. You know what? Everyone talks about Ray Lewis, but I had Ken Norton Jr. back there, and I thought I was very happy with him. I may be dropping down a notch, but yeah. But I had a good defense, too.
No, our defense was good. The Cowboys' defense was good with Darren Woodson, but when you thought of that team, again – you thought Aikman, Irving, Emmitt Smith.
The offense,
and then when you talk about that Baltimore team, you think Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Baltimore defense.
Baltimore, you know, just kick me a field goal. I'll get my defense to hold them.
I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer.
Right.
So yeah, that defense was pretty good.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. That's a great call.
All right.
So anyway, going back to the Roger Staubach thing, I just found it fascinating you know, that there was, first and foremost, he lost, what was it, 3 years to the service or 4 years to the service where he didn't even, you know, he didn't get to play right out of school. And then he comes in, he's competing with Don Meredith. You know, so he's not the starter when he comes in either. You know, this guy battled. All he did was win games when he got in there. And they said he's still so competitive at 70 years old when they do those Thanksgiving Day games. Like, he's out there, like, slinging it. I'm telling you, I'm 45. I still play a little man baseball. And my arm kills me if I pick up a football. This guy's slinging footballs
You're
all
45?
Over.
You're 45? I'm 48. So how was I that older than you?
Well, you remembered a couple more years of.
Right, yeah.
And I think in Armenian years, you're a little bit older.
I got a point. We're like dog years.
Kind of like dog years. It adds up quick when you're
all right.
From
that's
the Eastern Bloc or wherever
from. All right, so we got that going for us. Yeah, and you know what? Back then, too, man, it was special seeing teams that had a rivalry against one another. And you don't see it as much anymore. I mean, I know Washington, Green Bay, New York, Philadelphia, but back then there was a mystique about it.
Well,
NFC represented who gets to play either Oakland or Pittsburgh.
Right. And you literally hated the opponent. Like, you wanted to fight the opponent, not shake their hand afterwards like today. And free agency has changed that. You know what I mean? The players move around so much. But the reason why those rivalries were great is because they literally hated each other.
Yeah.
They despised each other.
And now and you never saw fans from another team in, like, a home stadium.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's, if you're going to fight anywhere, it's going to be in the stands. It's not going to be on the field.
StubHub.
Yeah.
Everything's bought on that. And the Cowboy Stadium's got an opposing team.
You know, in general, it's more and more expensive to go to an NFL game every year. So, if you don't like the nearest team to you, you may travel. It might be cheaper to travel and go to a game somewhere than it is to even go to your own home, your home stadium or whatever. So,
well, we're doing our best here, folks, in St. Louis, converting a lot of St. Louis old Ram fans.
That's right.
Into becoming Dallas Cowboys again.
So, what would you say out there as we walk around our wonderful city here? I got two teams in mind where I constantly see fans of those teams.
Well, I think you're definitely seeing a lot more Chiefs presence.
Okay.
I think resurfaced.
Well, and I would say, I see where you're going. So that wasn't what I was thinking, but yes, now that you mentioned the Chiefs, they are grabbing some of the Rams.
And I think some of the Illinois side, you're seeing a lot of the Bears. The Bears are now back into the scene.
See, I have not seen any Bears support at all. But
they're
two
terrible. The team's bad right now.
Yeah, so. Then why are you going to jump on that bandwagon? The two teams that I constantly see as I drive around town, whether it's license plates or anything, I guess there's three. The Cowboys.
Right.
The Steelers.
Right.
And the Packers.
Right.
Yeah.
I see the Chiefs, too.
And when you mention the Chiefs, absolutely, I see those, too. And that's just the benefit of being in middle America, melting pot with no football team, right, anymore. So
I think if you go around the country, though, the Steelers, the Packers, the Cowboys are going to be heavily represented in a lot of different parts of the country.
Isn't that
but you're
amazing?
Absolutely right.
You guys are saying that, and not one time you mentioned the Patriots.
Right. That was going to be my point, is that they've been hot for 15 years or whatever it's
been.
These
guys are good.
They are good, and it's unbelievable
what
they've accomplished.
Enough love for the Patriots.
But here's the deal.
Puke over here.
I don't see people driving around with New England Patriots license plates.
No, I don't either.
You know?
It's either a team that you love or you hate, but again, same concept with Dallas. But I just don't see a lot of New England fans out there.
Yeah.
We got one of our one of the guys I grew up with, he went to Madison. I went to Granite, and his son, his first year of Valentine, played for the New England Patriots and got in the Super Bowl and won. How about that, man?
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, can you see Romo looking at that and going, God damn, I'm still not there. And this kid, first year, next thing you know, I'm in the Super Bowl.
Well, I guess I would be –
God bless you, Valentine. I really am proud of you.
For like a Romo, great. But, Romo came out of You grew up in what, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Got your nose broken in Wisconsin once, right? Yeah, it's like Czechoslovakia. March in, march out. Bada boom, bada bing.
I played against University of Whitewater, Wisconsin.
So you got Wisconsin. And then he doesn't go big time Division I. He goes to Eastern Illinois University.
Right.
Okay. So he's not big time coming out of high school to college.
Right.
So not like he's a blue chip. I mean, at least Brady went to Michigan, right? Grew up in California playing in, what, Santa Clara or something.
Let's be honest. But Brady is an all-American looking kid, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing the part all along. But what I'm saying is,
that's the guy you want to be.
When you come out of a program like that, you expect it. I mean, Romo, to be, statistically speaking, the best quarterback in Cowboy history, coming out of Eastern Illinois. Yeah. I mean, does he he wants a Super Bowl ring, but not everybody can stock shelves on the third shift at Hy-Vee and win a couple of Super Bowl or Super Bowl MVP. Kurt Warner did.
And, I definitely see what you're saying there. Is it more or less just a hit-and-miss type of position? I mean, we got lucky that last year with Dak, but
it really is. I mean, it really is.
I mean, it seems like when they go out to get a planned quarterback that's supposed to be cat's ass, he never turns out to be cat's ass.
No. Look at Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
They said him coming out, and you can go up and down. Yeah. But Bradford coming out was, they said he had the best pro day that they had in the history of pro days.
I knew he was going to be bad, though.
He was terrible.
Terrible.
But then you get a Peyton Manning that comes out.
I think he's got that one eye that floats off. Bradford. Yeah. I think it's tough to spot a wideout when you got that thing floating around.
His peripheral is a little off.
It's bad when the coach is like, hey, look at me when I'm talking. He's like, coach, I am. He goes, well, what's that one eye doing?
No. Get back over here, son.
All right, that's wrong. That's wrong, and I'm very disappointed in both of you guys for doing that.
Okay. I can buy into that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you go up and down the line, and you know, there's guys that come out and they're like heavily touted out of high school, out of college, and never do anything. And then there's guys that are
what's that guy in Philadelphia? Wentz, is it, or
Carson Wentz? Yeah,
I think that boy's gonna have a future on him.
He saw what happened last year. He looks good. Right?
That Rams pick in L.A.
Holy cow, did you see the new coach out there is like, oh, man, this guy's got a ceiling like you wouldn't believe.
Oh,
like, oh Jesus, they're drinking something out there in L.A.
Well, that's what you have to say.
Yeah. You have to say it.
Yeah.
And he might, but he's in such a – from top to bottom, that organization is run so poorly. You know, they're not going to put him in the best position to win right now.
Right. Well, when they got rid of their St. Louis instant replay crew is when they really went downhill.
Jesus. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
You got that. I mean, we're talking about what is it, Brock Osweiler or Osweiler?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. What did he get? Like $12 million to play in Houston?
18, wasn't it?
I don't know the specific numbers. I think it was
$12 million signing bonus is what he got. Okay. And now we're talking Romo going to Houston.
Yeah.
Tell me how much of a wash that was. How much of a they made the money away?
You know, I mean, they had their issues. They still did make the playoffs last year, so it's not like they were.
They signed him to a $72 million contract.
Jiminy Christmas. Yeah.
I just remember $72
million. Yeah,
it was $12 million signing bonus. And now Steve-O's got some sort of a crap out there on social network that we're going to get Houston's going to pick up Romo.
Hey, I'll take him as our backup, Osweiler, if we can make that work and give them Romo, right?
You know, well, he couldn't beat their backup QB. Their backup QB had a better season than him at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying here, guys.
If you think about it, though, I mean, you got 32 NFL teams, and there's probably 20 good quarterbacks in the entire world.
Wait a minute. Going back to that, too. I think the guy got $37 million guaranteed contract.
Jiminy Christmas.
And $17 million of that was just a bonus.
Well, you got a computer box in front of you. Look it up. I know you can't spell his name, so it.
Those are just pictures.
I'm horrible with names, man. I remember crazy stuff. That's how. And you people out there, remember that before you start criticizing me.
Listen, he's not going to remember McFadden or McPherson.
McPherson.
But I'm gonna have him cut that Three Socks in the White, which is the horse that ran in the fourth race at Aqueduct. He remembers them, and from 1968.
Yeah. All right. Enough. Enough ripping on me, huh?
Not ripping on
you. I gave you a nice plug for your company.
You know what it is? It's like when you were in kindergarten out on the playground. The girl that would come up and hit you, or the boy would come up and hit you, they really like you. It's not that they don't like you. It's how I show I love you.
That's what the coach said. My defensive coach said that one year. He said, "You know why I yell at you?" I go, "Oh, you don't like me." He goes, no, I yell at you because I care about you. You see that guy? I haven't even talked to that guy all season.
Yeah, I heard that all the time, too. The day I stop yelling at you is the day I stop caring about you, and then you got a problem. That's what I always heard.
Yeah. So you know what? I feel good about that.
Good.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just picking on you, man. It's it's a way I show my love.
That a boy.
John, I don't do that at all. That's all Steve.
I like to go to your corner more, you know?
Okay, so let me add. So on my bucket list, as I switch gears a little bit more, as we're winding down at the last quarter of play, if you will, last 15 minutes, right?
Kind of my drop-in, Monty.
Bucket list for me, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, and on my bucket list, I want to do a Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But my favorite holiday is, can I push off Thanksgiving to like Sunday dinner?
Do it a day
instead
early,
of Thursday?
Maybe. Or do it?
I think
all about Thursday, dude.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I can't do it on a Sunday and
say... It's not the same.
You can do whatever the hell you want. Yeah, you eat all that pork butt. I mean, you had
smoke the meats.
Yeah, you had four. He had four pork butts at his kid's party there.
Sunday, man, you guys missed it. I think I sent pictures.
You didn't send an invite, though.
You were out golfing.
I was. Oh, that's right. We were out golfing.
We were golfing, weren't we?
Were you guys golfing together?
Yeah, we did go golfing together.
Well, thanks for the invite there.
Well, we would have, but you had pork butts, though.
My smoker holds its temp. I would have been fine.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
You would have said, I'm in, and then you would have canceled right before we started.
Did you see my Dallas Cowboy ball? My golf ball?
That was beautiful. I took it. I stole it. You didn't even realize it. I have it in my pocket.
I'll keep it then. That's
no,
yours.
I'm kidding. I almost hit it off the tee, which it probably would have ended up hitting one of the houses or something, but I gave it back to
you. Did you guys really play together?
Yeah, we had a good time. We had like four or five guys with us. Yeah. So
nice.
We had like three tee times set aside.
Where'd you play?
Beautiful Arlington Greens.
Okay. Quality course there.
It is.
In Collinsville, Illinois.
Yeah.
If you guys want to sponsor the show, that's
if anyone's listening.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, folks, you know what? Let's just cut the show.
No. What would you, if you're going to go to a game next year, what do you want to do? Do you want to go see it in Dallas, or do you want to go do a different stadium?
I don't ever want to go to watch Cowboy games. I like watching it at home. I finally broke out of my cave and watched it with you guys because I don't like going to watch it with anyone.
John, we need to get you out to experience life a little bit.
I don't enjoy it.
I know in Armenia you were like a slave or something, but there's
free. Yeah, they tied me up in a corner.
You're in America now,
John.
Bud.
Doesn't like people, so you can't put him in a stadium with 60,000 people.
During a Cowboy game, I like to be on my own. I like to watch the game. I like to yell at my TV. I love the cuss.
You'll want to go see a game in Dallas so you could do that with people around you.
I went, and all I seen was Chicago Bear guys that were singing some goofy-ass song every time they scored. This one nerd, this fat nerd would stand up in front of me and start saying, "We are the Bears, we are." And I just wanted to pick that bastard up and throw him. But the announcer said, "We have undercover people in the stands, so if you're rude, we will find you." And this was like, yeah, I don't like this type of
crap. Hey, if it makes you feel any better, the Bears came to town here and played the Rams, and I got you some payback. There was a group of Bears fans in front of us.
They
and
sing that goofy
I got
ass
them,
song, don't they?
I got them to get up halfway through the fourth quarter because they were tired of listening to me. Because even though I wasn't a Rams fan, I just did not like the Bears. So I was giving them hell, telling them to warm up the bus and all that stuff. They literally got up and left halfway through the fourth quarter.
Did you hear them sing their song at all?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they were pretty pumped up in the first half.
Stupid ass song they sing. Yeah. It was goofy.
That's all right. I got them back for you. How about that?
You were probably out on the field.
I was out on the field
with the State Farm guy, putting up that net after every field goal.
I did instant replay, bud. So I was important.
That explains a lot.
Very important.
He told me, he told everybody they wore the K, and it doesn't even mean anything anymore because they're not even relevant to the game.
They're not.
The so what the hell do we have these guys around for?
There's an actual official that has the kicking balls. The guy with the K doesn't do anything. He might go retrieve a ball and help the other ball boys out, but he doesn't handle the kicking ball. They actually have an official, and that goes back to the Tony Romo against Seattle snap.
Yeah, you mentioned
they put Vaseline on the ball?
No, it was a brand new, shiny, fresh out of the box ball. Slicker than snot. We need Romo on just to validate that story because nobody believes me. And I've never talked to Tony Romo a day in my life, and I guarantee he would tell me, Steve-O, you are 198% correct.
You think he wants to talk about that?
He would talk to me about it.
I don't think – yeah. I know when I talked to Smith, what was his
Jackie
name?
Jackie Smith.
Jackie Smith. He got pissed off at me.
Well, look at you. You're disgruntled. You want to throw people – You want to beat people up? You
I don't want to beat up
scream.
Anyone. I just told the guy. I just said, I've forgiven you after all these years. You dropped that ball. Rodgers threw the ball right at you. You dropped it. And he, instead of acknowledging it like he should have, he just pulled back his hand and was trying to run away. I followed him, of course.
I know you did. You wouldn't let him go, would you?
My wife's like, "Who? What do you want with that old man?" And I go, he hurt me. He hurt me. He scarred me.
Oh, jeez. And you've been scarred ever since.
Yeah, I mean, he catches that ball, we win the game. I don't see 35-31 scarred up all my life because the Pittsburgh Steelers got another ring. They didn't deserve that ring. That was our ring.
That was a drop pass.
Yeah.
And then they didn't – listen, that catch at who was it that made it?
Butch Johnson?
No. The one against Arizona in the corner of the end zone. Roethlisberger threw him for their last Super Bowl win. Is it Burris? Was it
Plaxico? That was when he was playing with the Giants. Was it Santonio Holmes?
Maybe. No, I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. But whoever
Go
made
ahead.
It in the corner. It was another. I mean,
how
just,
did that affect you?
Well, because I wanted to see Kurt Warner win.
You don't know how it affected me. You know how that damn thing affected me?
I'm going to take a guess.
Gambling?
It involved a spread and a large sum of cash.
No. Large amount, yes, but not gambling.
Money line.
$1,000 squares that we've been saving, and we put it for that game, right? Mm-hmm. $1,000 squares.
And what were the numbers?
That would have been it. That would have been it. If he doesn't make that play, if he doesn't catch that ball, four of us all together, we would have won the whole thing. That was $1,000 square, man.
So what would that have been worth? 25 grand?
No, more.
There's 100 grand in the pot.
Yeah.
So would it have just been the fourth?
I think the last one was like 50 G.
Oh.
50 G for the last one.
Yeah. Man, that's a difference maker.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that one up, too.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think you brought it up, but.
Have I ever told you guys? I used to go to the horse tracks, right?
Used to.
Yeah, well, when I was young in high school. I didn't have any cash, but, you know, I wanted to act like a big shot with the gals. You know, they'd be standing out there, they'd be drinking together and everything. And I'd come up to them. I'd look on the board to see, like, the 40 to 51 horse that has no chance in hell to win. The one you see on the Three Stooges with the big with the big curve. And I'd go out and talk to the girls. I go, hey, my people didn't show up. Is there any chance if my horse wins that you gals could be in the winner's circle with me? And they'd be like, you own racehorses? And I go, yeah, I own that number 7. He'll be coming around right here. Oh, yeah, that's mine. They go, you own that horse? I go, yeah, I own that horse. And then they look in, your name's Richard? I go, yeah, I'm his son. And next thing you know, this damn thing runs like dead last as it's supposed to. And I'm drinking with these gals all night. And I'd be acting like I own some of these horses. I did it like 2-3 times, actually, and it always worked out.
What worked out?
Well, I mean, you just talk to them. You're just always talking to them. What the hell do you think worked? But I'm just saying it always worked out that you're always you could go there by yourself, and by the end of the night, you're going to another party with them or something.
Oh.
How about that? That's a pretty good line.
You're a smooth dog right there.
Smooth operator.
Buy him some ice cream afterwards.
Yes.
I didn't spend any cash out there.
Why, Jono, can you pick up the hotel room? I'm fresh out of cash.
I got to take care of that horse. He's going to cost me some money. I just got a call from the trainer. He's hurt.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and I know we're kind of off topic, but, you know, a lot of our listeners might be down in Dallas and own horses down there, right, in Texas.
I don't know. They have the Lone Star down there.
Are those races fixed?
No, there's nothing fixed. I swear to God.
Are you sure?
I swear to God. They got judges everywhere looking at anyone that holds anything. I was a placing judge, too, like 6 years ago. I used to be a placing judge. And we watch everything out there. I'm serious. That's one thing. I had 35 racehorses. Really? Really? I did. With me and my partner, we had 35 horses. And afterwards, I got in the racing office, and I became a racing judge. And, I mean, we look at everything. Everything from the start to the end. And there's a lot of things that go on, such as, you know, I don't like when the judges said it's hypothetical. That horse would have won the race if he wasn't bumped into. Don't give me that. There's no such thing. Never mind. I mean, Rodney's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I'm still trying to figure out what hypothetical or what. I'm not sure that you.
But here, so here's the question: are you the same way with horse racing as you are? Because we've been. Back
I am going to have my own racing show.
I know. Let's plug it. Plug it real quick. Then.
It's going to be called Racing at Fairmount Park Racetrack, and I'm really excited about it. I do the tip sheet out there.
Okay.
And this is one that's next to my Dallas Cowboy love. I think that horses and cowboys to me are, there's nothing in between it.
Okay, so are you the same way with horse racing as you are with Cowboys game? Would you rather watch it on your computer box or TV, or do you want to go to the Kentucky Derby?
I am totally the same way, and I'm very superstitious. If I win a race, if I win a football game, I want to wear the same thing. I want to do the same thing that I did that day. So it's
so you feel you have some control account. Over that.
I don't think I got a damn thing to do with that. But in my mind, in my warped mind, I feel like if I sit in this one chair, my Cowboys got a better chance at winning. If they start getting scored upon, I move to another chair and curse that chair. I mean, I'm that way. I really get whacked out. I don't. If a black cat gets in front of me, I try to kick it.
Do you walk under ladders or anything?
No, hell no. Okay. I don't do anything like that.
So Rodney and I are going to Cowboy games.
Right.
We're going to go to the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And you're going to be sitting at home watching your box
if,
on
if
the TV.
If I have a horse in the Kentucky Derby, I had a horse in the Breeders' Crown. Our horse was
Sprinkles.
Big Brown.
That was in
Mr.
2007.
Patches.
And
Secretariat.
He finished fourth, actually.
It's not bad.
What do you get for that? A set of steak knives?
No, man. It was a $1 million race, and you get 10% of that. So,
but you got 10% of nothing because you came in fourth?
No, you get 10% of $1 million.
Oh.
So you get $100,000 for that. Yeah,
nice.
He didn't have to act like he was a big shot.
Excalus was the horse's name.
Is he in the glue factory now?
They bred it.
Okay.
Yeah. Horses like that end up breeding. What a great life if you're a horse. If you win, all you do is breed.
Well, I'm not sure that
all you do is breed.
I'm not sure that
I would be the horse that they bring in just to get it all aroused, and then they pull
me
out of there. I'm the fluffer. Come on, boy. You did your job. Now get the hell out of here.
You're the fluffer.
Oh, my Lord. What is going on?
We have taken a turn for
the
worst.
There's nothing else to talk about as far as free agency goes, so I'm enjoying it.
I'm sure we've missed so many tweets and everything out there. These people.
I think I'm going to take a shitload from the McPherson.
I actually already sent you a message.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get it.
Who this McPherson idiot is, but.
Yeah.
Folks, we appreciate Cowboy Nation out there and everybody that listens to us and tunes
in. And please
in.
Send us your questions so maybe we won't talk about me and horse racing.
And Fluffy.
And Fluffers.
And
Jono the Fluffer.
Me the Fluffer.
It's a very important role, though.
let's go now, boy. What? What? She likes me, really? No, you got to go.
No, this one's serious, I can tell.
This one really digs me. Anyway, all right, folks, from Jono, Steve-O, hey, Rodney.
Are we going to get – we got to get Rodney and Rich put in there somewhere, maybe a byline as we play our music.
I would like Rodney's, but I don't know about Rich.
Every week I'm trying to replace him.
No, I'm not trying to replace Rich.
Okay, so next week when we get back, we'll have Fan of the Week. I think we're going to bring in Jess, Fan of the Week. You guys will be, she's a local gal around here that's huge, huge Cowboy fan. I've watched games with her before.
Right.
We'll have her in next week and get her 2 cents. And maybe we can line up a couple more calls.
And I'd like to also give a shout out to three sites out there that are Cowboy Nation 88. Folks, give them a big shout out. Check their site out. Cowboys Family for Life. And how about Dallas Cowboys Fan Zone? These are the three that I just thought of right now. And you know what? We've got so many more, and you guys are great out there. We put all our sites out.
Well, and they're all out on Facebook. That's their Facebook pages.
Yeah, yes. They're on Facebook, and it's great seeing other Cowboy sites. And I will give you guys all what the hell am I saying now? I will give you guys all a shout-out every week to different ones. So it's not just these three.
Perfect. Loved it. Great show, guys. We'll have more to talk about, I'm sure. We'll bring in some.
What do you mean I got to go?
Send us off with a fluff, John. Jono, send us off with
I think this one really likes me.
All right, folks, from Cowboy Nation, Jono, Steve-O, Rodney, we are out of here.
See ya. Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci. Excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.